Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Apostle Armstrong. We're waiting for Apostle Miller. Apostle McIntyre will not be with us today. She is dealing with a family matter. And she texts me, and I text back to her and let her know that she is a blessing to be a blessing. She's blessed to be a blessing. And that if she was not there with the family member, helping the family member out, we would be wondering why. Because we realize that we are called to be a blessing. To be a blessing to others as Elohim has blessed us. That's basically what this ministry moment, hour, is about. It's where we discuss events and situations and circumstances, and we hope that in our discussion you see faith and you see how important faith is and has been for those of us who are here, and we are in the process of sharing in the hope that you will see the transformative power of our unwavering belief in the Creator. Hopefully you'll be inspired as a result of your listening. And even when we open the mic for you, ask for your comment and your participation, I keep looking at our faith journey and how we meet our daily challenges. We meet them with the Word. We meet them knowing that the Creator has given us the already place in human history or in the world, all that we ever would need to be able to address situations and circumstances that we face. I see Apostle Miller is here. Good evening, Apostle Miller.
Good evening. Good evening to you, Apostle.
Well, thank you. This evening, I sort of need it because the running and ripping, I had to get my car inspected, and that took an act of faith, Mm-hmm. My check engine light came on and wouldn't go off, and the car would not pass inspection with that on. And then the ABS braking system light came on. And here I'm sitting there, I got to get the car through inspection. So I called my mechanic because I have faith in my mechanic. That's why I called him. I didn't take it to anywhere, but I called him. I knew that he knows the car. And I did wait till the last minute because I was trying to make a decision as to whether this car, it's an 05, whether it's worth putting money in it. And I guess what came to me was that, do you love your car that much? And then I had to sit with self and take a look at self. Are you putting this car before the Creator, before the one that created this car, put the idea into human history, into human being to make this car? And I had to sit there and smile. And yeah, I like my little five-speed Volvo. They don't make them anymore. If they do, they don't bring them to this country. And not so much the brand name, make name, but I like to stand the shift. I like to shift gears. And it's hard to find them anymore. So I put my faith in my mechanic. Now, I want y'all to hear me, those of you who are listening. Who did I say I put my faith in? I put my faith in my mechanic instead of putting my faith in the Creator. Because it was him, the one that led me to where this car was sitting for a while, and that I bought it, because the Creator knew I wanted a 5-speed, and it's hard to find them anymore. So, but I put my faith in the mechanic. So I dropped the car off. I called a friend of mine who is part of the ministry, and I was telling her about it, and she stopped me in mid, and we just prayed. Because I was saying, well, the car going to be $1,000 or so to get it repaired. And whenever she stopped me in mid-sentence and prayed, I said, okay. So then I started believing the Creator that it won't gonna be what I thought it was going to be. And guess what? The car passed inspection. He did everything. Passed inspection. Check engine light is off. The ABS braking system light is off. And not only that, it stops without it making noise. That was the Creator. But most importantly...
I said, praise the Lord.
That's right. Most importantly, it wasn't even $500.
Praise Jesus.
And everything was done. And that was favor. The Creator showed favor. And I went to motor vehicles, and I had no problem. Well, there was a slight glitch there. I have Easy Pass, and I had gone through a couple. For some reason, it didn't register, and then they put a hole on my tags. If I would have got them when I first got them, the hole wouldn't have been on there. But I saw the thing for Creator for the fact that now that's clean, a clean slate. So the whole thing is, even when we don't know the Creator, God, and his beloved Son and the Holy Spirit are working on our behalf. And that's awesome. And we just have to, whenever we do get the results, who do we praise? Did I praise the mechanic? No, I thank the mechanic, but I praise the Creator. I praise the one that created the mechanic. And, you know, the thing about it is that we have to learn to praise our God, praise our Creator, give him the praise and thanks in all things. I know years ago I wouldn't even thought about, I would say, okay, that was just meant to be, cut to the shop, and they did what they were supposed to do, and I paid for the car and went on about my business. But now I understand that we pray in all things. We pray at all times. And that's what stood out for me this past week as I was sitting here waiting for the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what we were going to discuss today. And I went to sleep. And then I woke up, and after I woke up, Apostle Miller called. And she said, well, you're an apostle. You know what to say when time to go on the air. And this said, that's in what I heard her say. Not what she said, but what I heard her say is that the Holy Spirit will reveal to me that which is needed to be put in the hearing of the listeners. And Apostle. Are you still there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right, because we just can't hear you.
Oh,
and I type, huh?
I'm still here.
Okay. I did type in Google, know thyself. And I always thought that was a scripture, part of a scripture, but it's not. It was a part of a Greek philosophy. But my thing was that question led me back, know yourself. I had to sit and ask myself that question, who am I? And I have come to a reality is that I am a child of the Creator. I am a citizen of the earthly kingdom. And as a result of that, I must learn in all things and in all ways to put the Creator first. And I did not put the mechanic before the Creator because I have faith in my mechanic. And as a result of that, you know, I had, at the result of looking at who am I and whose am I, and I realized that sometimes we say things or we do things without even thinking. And as a result of that, we sort of take ourselves out of the realm of the spirit realm where we know that we've been called, we know we've been chosen, but being human, the humans that we are, sometimes we have to step aside and look back at self and make sure that we are on target as doing the things that will be the blessing for the Creator, for God. All right, Apostle.
Well, you know, good evening to everybody that have tuned into the broadcast. We are so glad that you tune in, and we trust the Holy Spirit going to bring words of encouragement, words of wisdom and knowledge to you all. Well, Apostle, according to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, it tells us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He said, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy neighbor and marrow to thy bones. Other words, I found out that God is concerned about everything about us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the good thing about it. You know, I remember one time when I was getting ready to buy another automobile. I wanted another car. And I was praying, asking God what color car and all this stuff. And the Lord told me, he said, get what you want. I want you to have what you want. He said, I don't really care what color it is, as long as you get what you want. You're the one that's gonna have to drive it around. And I found out then everything that concerned me, God is concerned about it. Cause when you look at it from a father perspective, and he's our father, a father is concerned everything that when it comes down to their child. They want their child to be happy. And he's concerned about everything, you know. And sometimes I think, you know, we don't think about it at the moment, but it'll dawn on us, you know, that you seek the Lord about it. Because after my dog, after Buddy passed, I had to put him to sleep. And I've been telling the Lord, I said, now, Lord, I said, I want another Shih Tzu. I said, that's what I want. So for you to want to pick the dogs normally that I get, I said, so I'm going to let you choose what, you know, the best kind, you know. I said, but that's what I really want. Because he said, when we acknowledge him, and he also said, when we delight ourselves in him. And that's why in this time, things that happening on the earth at this time. We as born again believers just need to draw even nigh to the Lord and really just rely on him. Just not only believing, mm-hmm. but just trusting. And when we believe and trust God and expect God to show up, he'll show up. Mm-hmm. Because I've been studying in the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, and it was saying, one of the scriptures said in the 2 Timothy, when we don't remain faithful to God, God remains faithful to us.
Faithful to us, that's right.
And so God is not going to forget about us, you know. But sometimes when we don't, when it appears that we don't see him moving or whatever, but God is always, the old saints used to tell me, he always be working behind the scenes, you know, mm-hmm. but he always working. So, you know, and that's why we got, in this hour in time, we got to really rely and lean on the Lord and know. This would come down where they said if you can't trace him, how they used to, it used to be a proverb about that. The old saints used to say, when you can't trace him, trust him. I think that's what they used to say. But a lot of time, I don't know about nobody else, I lean to my own understanding for so many years. And when it came down to, I could believe God, but when it came down to trusting him in certain situations, I find myself, I was still leaning to my own understanding. How can I fix it? Dwelling on how it's going to turn out. And I found out when I was thinking like that, I wasn't totally relying and trusting on the Lord. And this is what we got to really do in this hour. And the way we trust him based upon what his words say, you know. So God cares.
Yeah, that is very important, that last statement that you made based upon what his words said. I know the prayer line, we're trying to introduce to the people that on that prayer line is that we need to pray the scripture. And what we mean by that is, what does the scripture, what does God say about that situation or circumstance that you're praying over? Or the person that you're praying for, and try and find a scripture basis for your prayer, as opposed to praying what I call praying around Robin Hood's barn. You're praying and you call yourself covering everything. But in the time that we are in now, we need to pray specifically, focus on what's happening now, so that, and then we need to sit and wait and hear from the Creator, hear from God. What is he saying to us? And, you know, once we can get people to begin to do that, then our prayers become much more effective, and we're focusing in a particular area, in a particular situation. And we won't have time I don't know whether God heard me. Well, I don't know. Maybe I didn't do something right. Well, if you pray the scripture, then you understand what the promise is. And as a result of that, you will begin to give thanks and praise to God for whatever it is that you ask, for his response. And other thing that we introduce is, don't pray the problem. And lots of time people just pray the problem, they're telling the Creator about the problem this and problem that and all that. The Creator knows what the problem is. He knows the problem. Now, what we should be praying and requesting is the solution to the problem. What is it that God is saying? Go ahead.
In 1 John, what you saying, in 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 13th verse, he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. He said the confidence we need to know, if we know that we believe it on the Son of God, and if we know we asking God based upon what his word said about the problem, that would give us the confidence. If I'm asking him based upon what he said in his word about that situation, then the confidence is I know he hear me. And if I don't ask him based upon what his word say about my situation, my confidence is that God going to hear me and God going to do something about it. But a lot of times, if we uncertainty is, like you just mentioned, I don't know whether the Lord, if we praying, and our prayer, it based upon what he said belonged to us. It just like I had a great my niece had a little boy. Well, Mason he came Monday, but he would kind of, you know, he came 2 weeks, maybe about two weeks before his time. And my sister-in-law, she called me about it, and she was saying, well, and I told her, I said his name. I said, first of all, we already know his God will for that baby to come here healthy. That we already know that because God loves you. He already know predestined and got purpose for him. I said, so we just going to decree and declare that Mason is fine. We're going to decree that he's going to fully develop. We're going to decree that all his organs going to develop and they're going to function even as God created. And we're going to bind and come against her blood pressure that's running high, and we're going to call her blood pressure and command it to be normal because that's the will of God. And so we know it's his will. We know he loving and all that. So we just going to keep the faith, and we're going to just keep thanking and praising him that it's no birth defect or none of that. We forbid any of that. So there, too, again, as I stated, that's why it's so important. Prayer is based upon the finishing work of Christ, the solution to our problem. He done already solved it, the solution to the problem, that we got to believe and trust him, because I don't know about nobody else. When I first got saved, my faith was in me. I believed that God exists, but I did not know how to really rely and trust God. You know, because whatever I needed, I would try to do it. But, since I've been saved, I'm learning more. It's the scripture that I'm learning to acknowledge him and trust him. Because my faith and trust was in what I see and what I feel. I didn't know how to believe and trust what God's word said. If it looked like it was going to be a good day, I declare I was having a good day. If it looked and I felt like it. That's what my faith and confidence, but I found out that because of God's integrity and according to the scripture in Isaiah 55, God watch over his word. God is a God of integrity. God, whatever God say about you and I, that's what God going to do. But God need me not only to believe, but trust him and wait on him to do it. The children of Israel, they saw the 10 signs that God did. But when it came down to going in to possess the land, because they couldn't trust God to do it for them, they had a trust problem. And I think in the time we living in, if we ain't careful, we can doubt instead of, okay, God. So like I said, what God said about Israel, God going to keep his word, y'all. It might look like he's dooming up. No, it's not. God made some special, specific promise about Israel. But I believe God is doing some work in the ones in Israel that have been living contrary to what God say. I really believe that.
Yeah, and the other thing is you were talking, two things came to me. One is that word trust, how we don't understand what it means, because what do we say? Well, if it's God's will, it will be done. oh, well, I guess it wasn't God's will because he didn't do it. What is that saying about trust? Why are we praying? I mean, if we have that much doubt, our lack of trust in the Creator, why are we even praying? Why are we wasting our time praying? And, you know, I guess as you grow and mature, the things that are being revealed to you, you begin to question some of the stuff that you've done. And you say, well, I used to say, if it's God's will. Well, we should know whether it's God's will before we even go into prayer. And one way of knowing that is knowing what his word say about the situation or circumstance. And if his word affirms that what you are requesting, he promised to give you, then you just began to thank him, began to just pray prayers of thanksgiving at all times. Just thank him as you ride down the road, as you walking down the highway or down the street, around the track. You're thanking God for whatever it is that you petition him for. And
but you know,
go ahead.
You know, Apostle, I don't know, but for me, like I said in the beginning, a lot of times people face where my faith was in what somebody else said about God, because I didn't know that it was possible for me to have a relationship with him. And when I found that out, then I had to find out, well, how do I go about getting in touch with God? How will I know him? How do you develop a relationship with him? And I found out, according to Matthew 6:33, when I read it in entirety, I found out seek out God's way of doing things, we develop a relationship through his word. When we find out what is written about him, and we put not only faith but confidence and trust what he said, the more he do. That I believe that's why Jesus said, I think it's in the 14th or 15th chapter of St. John, he said, henceforth you ask me nothing, but whatever you ask the Father, he would do it that he may be glorified. And so the more we ask God based upon his word and trust him to do it, that increased my confidence in God. You know, because I know when I first got saved, I know I was a baby, but I could just think things, and the next thing I know, it was being manifest or put in my hand. But as I began to grow, I found out God wanted me to learn to take him at his word. And then the Bible said, wait on him. Now, Now, that used to mess me up because I wanted the sudden and immediately, because a lot of times when I read the scripture, it appeared like it was sudden and immediate manifestation. But sometimes it was not suddenly and immediately, but they had to trust and wait on him and be of good courage based upon his integrity. He said it, then he'll do it. You know? So I had to learn how to wait on the Lord. And in the process of waiting, I couldn't allow myself to lose focus on what his word said, because my situation and sometimes what I was saying, oh, he ain't going to answer. He ain't going to answer. And then when I started praying for other people, when God revealed to me, he said, now, Ann, I don't violate. I don't override nobody's will. He said, but because I'm sovereign, I know what to do to get people's attention. I know how to turn. But, you know, I can deal with them in a way that let them see, and they were willing to want me to do. I said, okay. But that would used to aggravate me, and I didn't hear people say that. I've been praying for so-and-so for 20 years, 30 years. I ain't seen no change. But they got to realize, first of all, that person have a will, and you got to believe God and trust God with it, because God know how. God know how to soften our hearts up. He know how. We don't know how. But the thing is, we have to trust his ability, because we can't do it. Remember Agrippa said about Apostle Paul, he said, you almost persuaded me, you know. But only God know how to soften people, but we have to just keep the faith on And I stand on, when it come down to my family member, I stand on this scripture, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, your whole household will be saved. And that's something that I really stand on when I'm praying for anybody, especially in my family. I said, now, Lord, I know they got a will, but I know it ain't your will that they perish. I know it's your will that you want them to come to them. I know, God, you ain't going to override their will, but I'm going to believe you and trust you because you sovereign, you all-knowing, you almighty, you know how. So I'm just going to thank you for doing it because it is your will, you know. So, but that used to throw me off a lot, you know. I've been praying like ain't nothing happened, you know. But when I found out, like I said, when God revealed to me that they had a will, and because he used to say, have you ever noticed when you pray for something personally for you, you seem to receive it or have the manifestation quicker when you praying than you praying for other people. I said, that is right. What's the problem? And that's when he began to reveal to me that people have a will, and sometimes we be wrong. Well, since he's sovereign, he almighty, why won't he do something? But they need to realize, ever since the Holy Ghost came, the Holy Spirit been constantly warned at people that's not saved, just like he won't convict us and draw us. You know, so there too, again, that's something else. It's God's will for everybody to be saved. It's not God's will that anybody be lost, but God is not going to violate their will.
Yeah, and also sometimes God's response is not what we in. Okay, for example, whenever I got executed and they had to amputate my hand, my thing was that I am healed, but I am not cured. To be cured means that I would have kept my hand. And then whenever I thought about it, I'm healed because if he had not removed that hand, I would have probably died from gangrene, because gangrene would have set in there. So healing, I was healed. And it's just a matter of sitting sometimes with your situation and circumstances so you see the presence of God involved in it. And I think that was some of the reason why I never really got depressed or anything over the amputation, because I realized that if it had not been removed, gangrene was going up my arm, and it would have killed me. So I gave thanks. And I guess some people probably thought I was crazy, but I gave thanks that my hand was amputated. Mm. And that was the response to the prayer request. Mm-hmm. I was healed. So sometimes we have to stop and look at the situation, and we can see healing. Our definition of healing might not be the type of healing we really need. And as opposed to sitting there blaming God, telling me he didn't do this, he didn't do that. Well, he did. He responded to your prayer request.
But ain't that's where trust come in. We can tell. I had to learn, and I'm still sometimes. We have to trust the way God gonna do it. What's the way is best for us? That's where I look at it. And I'm still growing. So, you know, but I had to learn that, you know, and I have to trust the way God gonna do it. You know, better yet, we have to let God. As I hear one of my former leaders used to say, you have to trust God with the detail.
Yeah.
You have to trust God with the detail, and I think that's what there too again. But we have to really truly love Him and say, okay, I'm gonna trust you with the details. You know, because even there too, again, when you're dealing with somebody else's will, I learned this in praying for people. A lot of times you don't know what they're telling God. You might be saying, God, do it, go to the left, and they might say, God, go to the right. You might try to believe that somebody continue to live, and they saying, I want to come home and be with you, Lord. You know, so there too, again, I don't know about nobody else, but with me, when it come down to praying for other people, I really have to sometimes say, Lord, I tell you, I'm just going to roll this care on you. Now, I know what you said, that it ain't your will for them to be saved. Now, how you do it, I'm going to trust you with it because I don't know how, you know. So they give me consolation, you know. They give me consolation. And that's why I said with Israel, when we study, if we study the prophecy that God done spoke about Israel, people better know God is going to do just what he said he was going to do with Israel. He's going to do what he said he was going to do, but if you don't know what he said he's going to do, roll that care on the Lord and say, God, I just give it to you, and since you, God, you know what's best, I'm going to believe you're going to do that. Now, that's me. Now, nobody else ain't got to pray that way. That's the way I pray. But God done made certain promises for Israel.
Well, my prayer is very similar. I ask the Creator for his will to be done. Because man has been over there trying to bring peace and do this and do the other, and it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. What will work is the Creator who created them, who created that situation over there. If his will is done, then there will be peace. There will be the type of joy that comes from, that will be come out of the peace of Shalom. So, you know, it's amazing how at times we think we know what it is, but we don't. And I was thinking, as you were talking, my wife passed in May. My wife told me several weeks before she passed that she was tired. And nobody wants anybody to transition out of here. But I had to look at Seth, and then I had to look at her. My prayer could have been, well, God, I need my wife. You know, I love my wife. Well, okay, please heal her. Heal her. She had made a decision. And it's like she made peace with the Creator, with her Creator. She made peace with God. And she was ready to transition out. She stopped eating. Mm-hmm. She stopped drinking. Now, what am I supposed to do? Force her to drink stuff? Force her to eat? And she did not want, like people, the IVs. So, uh-uh. No. My
and you didn't know
was,
what her conversation was with God, did you?
That's right. I only made an assumption because I put her in his hand because I was afraid of Alzheimer's and dementia. I'm not going to lie to you. I was afraid of it. And that was my thing to God. I'm afraid, but I put her in your hand, but I will take care of her. And he understood what I meant, that I would take care of her. It wasn't... And the night that she passed, my prayer was that she have peace in her transition. Because they had told us she was in hospice, and they gave us morphine and all that and explained how to use it and told us the signs to look for. None of that happened. None of it.
Great Jesus. Your prayers were answered.
She, right, she just transitioned right on out of here. And you know, it's awesome whenever you look at this situation like that, and what came to me was, what he put in my spirit was that it's a blessing and a sorrow. It was a blessing and a sorrow for her passing. And whenever I looked at it from that perspective, it made it easier. He blessed her in a way by transitioning her out of here. And the sorrow is what I have to deal with the fact that she's not here. It's like there's a hole there.
Mm-hmm.
And then other thing, you don't try to fill that hole with somebody like her, that was like her.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's awesome the way the Holy Spirit will speak to you and guide you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes mm-hmm. you just have to be still. Be still.
I agree.
And allow it to happen. Yep.
And then too, Apostle, if some guy really for a while now, he's been constantly reminding me, he's appointed unto us to die. And after that,
mm-hmm.
the judgment, all of us going to die. And like you said,
mm-hmm.
we are blessing the sorrow cause. Apostle Wilson called me early this morning. She was telling me about her sister transition last night. And I was telling her, I said, I know it hurts. She said, but you know, Ann, she said, my sister been sick so long. To me, it's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Now my sister going to be in peace, you know. But
mm-hmm.
God, like you said, God, the Holy Spirit ministered to all of us in the way that we needed the most to comfort us and bring peace to us about things if we allow him, you know.
Right.
That, you know, the way he ministered to you about stuff, he ain't going to minister to me that way. He going to minister based upon you and the comfort and the peace that you need, you know, to
right.
give us peace about things. Because like I said with my baby brother, you know, my sadness I know that there was a time that all of us were going to separate, but just not being able to see him and sit on the porch and conversate with him, that's what hurted me. And then God gave me consolation, what is it, Psalm 116? That is what he said, and therefore the saints are precious in God's sight. So that's something, as I meditate lately a lot on, and it's appointed unto y'all to die. Everybody going to die. That dying
mm-hmm.
is part of life, you know. And I think you and I even had this conversation, but, you know, a lot of times we don't know when, and we don't mm-hmm. know how, but it going to come. That's why I think that some even said, Lord, help me to number my days to know that they few. That's why I think it's so important. We need to really enjoy and celebrate one another. I think that's
yeah.
important too. And don't get so common with one another, you know, because even when I heard about my sister early day, I try to call a lot. You know, I don't get to visit since I moved. But when I do and try to call them, and I thought about it, I said, you know what? I said, Lord, I do visit even that, but I'm going to have to make it more sacrifice to try to go visit them, you know. But sometimes we can get so common with one another. And I think we need to try to enjoy every moment, anytime we can be with one another, because the day going to come, they ain't going to be able to respond, and you ain't going to be able to respond to their call.
Now, that is true. And the other thing, the scripture that came to me was Isaiah 43:18-19, and that we don't dwell on former things, because they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're there,
mm-hmm.
but they're gone. He
mm-hmm.
said that he's doing the old thing a new way. And the simile that I go to, one of the members, and she told me, she said, one thing you're going to have to do now, you're going to have to make new memories. Because we were talking about the things that we had done. And I never thought about it that way. And whenever you begin to think about things in those terms, you begin to see the hand of God in the midst of what is happening now in your life, and how the things that you are coming into contact with, how you have to learn to accept that and see how and recognize the impact that they have on your life at this point in time. See, we have been so accustomed to living in the past or living in the future by the world, according to world standards, until
yeah.
we don't forget how to live in the now, how to live in the
mm-hmm.
present.
Mm-hmm.
And to live in the present, that's what the Holy Spirit is, that's what life is all about. is living in the present. Because
in the book
we
of,
don't have. Go ahead.
I'm looking at a scripture in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, and he made this statement. He said, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the remembrance of them is forgotten.
And just going
back to what you said, and you're so right about that. And that's why I think sometimes we need to talk about dying. Some people don't like to talk about it, but that's something I share with my children. I say, you need to talk about it because it's going to happen whether you want it to or not. You don't know when and how, but it's going to happen. And even talking about it sometimes, I don't think it make it any better. But then to me, it's just a little consolation, because it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, we had talked about it, and in terms of how one should allow it to impact one after whoever's left must go on living, and as opposed to sitting around moping and sitting around doing what the scriptures say we shouldn't do, living in what took place, living in the past. I saw that with one of my college classmates who died, I think, last week. But his wife had dementia, and his life ended whenever she had dementia or Alzheimer's. And was placed in a home. His life ended at that point. He had no more life. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, he's in his time that he had left. He had two sons, but he sort of isolated himself from his family. And so I sort of isolated himself from some of his friends that he was really close with. But the thing about it is that you can't sit there. I'm learning. You can't just sit there and wait because nothing is going to happen. Nothing at all is going to happen unless you begin to move around. And I saw that happen in him. He just degenerated. He just sit there and just deconstructed. And he wound up with a stroke and all of that stuff. And he wound up being in this facility where his wife was. And, I'm learning that we have to live life and not live life to the fullness that the world says, but the Creator said that he's doing an old thing a new way, and that's the Isaiah 43:18-19, and that's what we need to begin to focus on. And then he asks us a question: do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive the new thing that I'm doing, that old thing, a new way? Do you not perceive it? And a lot
but
of us, and go ahead.
We should not agree that sometimes, I think sometimes some people don't know how to go on because sometimes you got so many remembers and you have so much dependent or so much in that relationship. And you don't know how to go on. You didn't have plans and stuff, Because that was the way when my older sister transitioned. Her and my brother-in-law had talked about it. And they had discussed if one go before the other and the other can go get married, get married again if they want to, but enjoy life. And when it happened, my nieces, they kind of got offended with him. because he remarried. That was the same way with my older brother when his wife passed, where he remarried again too. And some of the children, they didn't understand that, you know. But there too, again, I have met some people, you know, how do you go on if you had planned so much your life with just this one person, that person died. And sometimes when they look around and they don't went on, they kind of have a hard time accepting that they don't went on. So that's why I'm asking. I believe sometimes some people don't know how to go on, you know, and stuff. I mean, do you have that kind of view of some, you know, about some people?
Yeah, a lot of people, they get stuck in tradition. And what does the tradition say that I'm supposed to do, et cetera, et cetera. And then they can't not move past. Well, we have a friend that's like that. And you might as well say that transition when she was divorced, and she just stuck. She's stuck. And she's 76 years old now. But her life has gone past her. And she sits around now lamenting on the fact that her life is gone. And she's lamenting about old age and aches and pains. But what does she do in order for her to be able to find some relief as she goes through the rest of her life? Thinks they've been divorced for about 30 years. And let's say 50-some years, I've known of her, and she was my wife's roommate in college. But the whole thing is, whenever I look at the difference and compare her and other people that was in school, when I was in school, that's gone on with their lives, they're coming to the end, and they went out and made new memories. Now, like my children and my offsprings and my relatives, they had already had laid my life out, where it was going to be, what I was going to be doing, and what I'm needed. I had to put them in check and let them know that I'm going to make my own decision. So it wasn't one of them things where they expect me to sit around. But I'm not going to allow them to define how I'm going to live the rest of my life. And we sort of had that conversation, but they understood, and that's why I did the 30-day, what I call it, my self-directed 30-day spiritual retreat, to move away and let them see that, hey, he's not going to be sitting around moping and going on. He's going to be going on with his life. And as a result of that, I think that they have come to grips with the fact that I'm the one that's left and I have a life, and that he need to live his life according to the way that he wants to live it. And that's what I conclude, because I was talking to my daughter wants to be a controlling. She was one of those.
You got 1 minute, Apostle. we got 6 minutes, 7:24.
Oh, okay. All right. But the thing is, people have to live. They cannot allow themselves to vegetate because of a change that has taken place in their lives. Because when you do that, you're going to be sitting there talking about, I wish I had it. Oh, there was one person that's online. Do you have any comments or anything you'd like to make at this point? The mic is open.
Apostle McIntyre?
No, that's not her.
Okay.
Well, I guess they don't want to make a comment. So
well,
would you like to? Go ahead.
Do I have to tell who I am?
No, you don't have to tell who you are.
All right. That was a very good conversation you all had. I tell people that a lot, that they need to look at their life. It's their life. It's not someone else's life. And so that those things that you all said were important to me and should be important to others. And that's all I'd like to say.
Well, thank you for your comments.
Okay.
And Apostle Miller, you would like to respond?
I mean, I agree with her, you know, but I had to learn, well, after the divorce with my children dead and I, you know, he was my school sweetheart, and it was really hard for me, but I thank and praise the Lord because Jesus was in my life. The Lord helped me because I turned bitter and all that stuff, but thank and praise the Lord helped me to forgive. We came to be the best of friends, and even when he transitioned to heaven, you know, I'm content. I tell people I'm just content, you know, being single now. I told Lord, if you got somebody out there for me, send me, it's fine. But if not, I'm content the way I am. So, you know, I agree with her. People have to live their life.
All right. So now we're coming to the end of this journey. So would you like to pray us into the future? Oh, into the not yet, because I try not to use the term future because that's not the way the world used that term is inappropriate. I like to call it the not yet, so that where we are right now, we can enjoy this part of our lives.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you again for your word tonight. We thank you for those that even tune in. And Father, we just thank you that you all not present or not nipping. You know everything. You almighty. And Father, I even pray that you even help us even the more. Help us, Father, to let go. Paul said, one thing that I do, forgetting those things that are behind me. Lord, sometimes I find out sometimes people don't know how to let go. Help us to let go. And help us, the scripture said, this is the day that the Lord have made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in. Help us to let go of yesterday and learn to embrace today. And, Father, because I find out sometimes we just don't know how. Lord, help us. You said, casting all our cares on you. You tell us to give that care to you. Sometimes I find out some people don't know how to do that. So, Father, just help us. Help that individual, even the one dealing, still allowing grief to overpower them from time to time. Father, help them to let go. Help them to accept what they cannot change and grant them the grace to change the things that they can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Until next week, we trust that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us all. So long.